Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Rochelle Granite, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Human Resources and Chief Human Capital Officer at the U.S. Department of the Treasury. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Solly Thomas. Rochelle, I want to spend some time talking about Treasury's human capital strategy. Can you tell us a bit about your four human capital strategic goals, and how does the strategy align with and support Treasury's broader mission goals and objectives?
Well, we're actually at a transition phase. Our human capital strategic plan covers the period 2005 to the end of this year. We've actually are in the process of issuing our new human capital strategic plan that is a follow-on to the new department strategic plan, which was issued last year. There were four key goals: organizational effectiveness, recruitment and diversity, employee retention and employee satisfaction, and technical skills. And what we're talking about with respect to technical skills is enhancing workforce capabilities to support the use of current, new, and evolving technology. So we're really talking about making sure our organization aligns its human capital plans with the strategies and systems to achieve organizational effectiveness and the mission of the agency. And a key aspect of that is obviously being able to recruit the right people at the right time with the right skills. And at the same time, employee retention and employee satisfaction is critical. It's great if we can recruit the people and get them in the door, but if we're not growing and developing them and doing those things to ensure engagement and satisfaction, we're not going to keep them. And that would also make it more difficult for us to recruit new employees, because our best recruiters are our current workforce, sure, who say this is a great place to work. Last year, the department issued its new departmental strategic plan, and a major goal in that plan is management and organizational excellence. Human capital is a major player in that goal. And without fulfilling that goal, we can't accomplish the key aspects of the strategic plan, which are all mission. The remaining three aspects are mission-driven. In developing our revised human capital strategic plan, which would run from this year to 2013, goals slightly revised but not dramatically. One is broaden and diversify the talent pool. And we're talking there about creating effective recruitment strategies and utilizing all available flexibilities to attract a diverse pool of highly qualified candidates. Again, developing and retaining the workforce, that's going to be a constant. Making sure that we're effectively managing and utilizing human capital. Again, that's really focused on organizational effectiveness through enhanced employee engagement and supporting and leveraging the department's workforce. And then the one goal that is new and actually grew out of efforts in the last year around our human capital operating plan, which we will, as of this fiscal year, our intention is every year to have an annual operating plan that is based on the strategic plan. And in that operating plan for fiscal year 08, we had a goal and strategy around it to really transform the human capital occupation. We need to develop our human capital practitioners as strategic business partners. We need to move away from the focus on transactional processing. I mean, you always have to do that. Hopefully, technology is increasingly making that easier. But we're moving to shared services for those types of functions. And what's really critical, if human capital is going to be at the table with the leadership of the agency in ensuring that our human capital strategies are aligned with our mission and our goals, we really need to be business partners and be able to converse and strategize and come up with solutions as real business partners.
Great. Now, I also understand that you've defined some human capital and business drivers that will shape the future. Could you tell us a bit about these drivers, and to what extent does cross-bureau coordination play into your plan going forward?
Well, the drivers are really probably the drivers that are facing most agencies. One key one is modernization. It's the recognition that we are dealing with increased use of constantly changing and evolving technology, and to really look at revising our business practices and obtain the necessary skill sets to deal with the benefits of this new technology. Another business driver is the critical importance of customer service expectations and public scrutiny. Thirdly, it's the need for efficiency and accountability. And accountability for results has been a major driver in the last many years, most prominently under the president's management agenda, the PART exercises. So it's really driving a focus on results and performance, changing to a performance culture. And then finally, it's dealing with continuous change. Every day we face changes in our business requirements because simply, as we know today, market changes and world events affect what we need to do and the skill sets we need.
So given the complexities of the Treasury Department, which we talked about in the first segment, how does your organization evaluate the HR field performance and drive best practices across the entire HR community? And specifically, what steps are you taking to ensure that policies and procedures are implemented and monitored across such a vast and complex organization?
There are several ways in which we evaluate how our human capital programs are operating and how they operate within the bureaus. And as I think I've alluded, each of the bureaus is its own organization and its own culture and have their unique needs given the nature of the mission, particular missions of those bureaus. So there's not a one-size-fits-all answer to a lot of things. But that said, we do evaluate bureau performance and effectiveness in human capital areas in several ways. We do have a series of metrics that are developed based on the Human Capital Strategic Plan, outgrowth of the President's Management Agenda, you know, as well as our Human Capital System for Accountability that was tied to our Human Capital Strategic Plan, and also the Federal Human Capital Survey. The metrics that are involved there are, you know, we're measuring the closing of skills gaps in mission-critical occupations, gaps in leadership positions. We look at closing resource gaps. We look at assessing employee satisfaction through the Federal Human Capital Survey and other tools. We measure the time to hire, et cetera. In addition, there are any number of ad hoc ways that we get a handle on how well our programs are running at the bureaus, and that's because of the relationship we have on a day-to-day basis with those offices. You know, they look to us for policy guidance. They will call us for help in resolving unusual issues in problem cases. There's certain things that need to come to us for approval. Some things that need to come to us before we go to OPM, and that gives us significant insight into how those programs are running. There are some very formal ways in which we are able to measure the effectiveness of these programs, and one of those is our accountability program. We are now conducting independent audits of the programs at the bureaus, a few each year. We're measuring against the Human Capital Accountability and Assessment Framework, and there are a series of areas in which we are measuring program effectiveness based on OPM standards in that area. You know, we've completed several of those audits, and we will be expanding those audits in the future to also include the EEO programs.
Now, I want to switch gears for a minute to have you talk about workforce planning. Could you tell us about your efforts to enhance and institutionalize workforce planning within Treasury? And could you also elaborate on your workforce plans and how Treasury has addressed closing skills gaps in the mission-critical occupations?
You know, workforce planning is an extremely broad term. It can be done in many different ways and certainly in a combination of ways. It certainly involves an understanding of what the workforce requirements are. It involves assessing your current workforce and where their competency gaps are, where basic resource gaps are. We have a workforce analytics tool that has been able to give us exact numbers on employees in mission-critical occupations, forecast attrition, that allows us to strategize on how and where to find new employees and how to focus our efforts around which mission-critical occupations at which levels. And also, it focuses us on what internal training or retraining we need to do with our existing workforce. It also informs what tools we might need in that workforce planning effort, such as strategic use of voluntary early retirement authority and incentive payments, where we see that the workforce restructuring really requires the elimination of certain positions. And we always are looking to avoid a reduction in force. So we really need to use those authorities strategically and to reduce involuntary separation actions. We also need to, in workforce planning, strategically use some of the flexibilities that are available in recruitment. A lot of those flexibilities involve monetary resources. They may not necessarily be able to be used across the board. In closing skills gaps, we've focused significantly on mission support occupations. Those exist in all of our bureaus. They're the common areas, especially around IT and procurement specialists. But then some of our bureaus have their bureau-unique mission-critical occupations that have significant challenges. In IRS, we're talking about tax resolution representatives, for example.
Rochelle, a recent global human capital study conducted by IBM showed that over 75% of the human resource executives interviewed believed that they are having difficulty developing future leaders. Can you talk about some of the efforts at Treasury to ensure continuity of leadership through succession planning and executive development?
Sure. Well, one of the major focuses of our, as I mentioned, we have an annual human capital operating plan. And one of those goals is developing talent. And a major aspect of that is around leadership skills and leadership development and ensuring that we have brought up through the organization future leaders. And one of the things we've learned is we don't reach down early enough in employees' careers to develop those leadership skills. It shouldn't be the case that someone is going to their first significant leadership development program when they are in their 25th year of service, especially given the current demographics and the realities of our aging workforce. So we do have an effort underway to develop a department-wide leadership development model that would have core aspects to it, and then obviously each bureau has its own unique needs that would go around that. A number of the bureaus have candidate development programs. The IRS has a robust leadership development program that has many different levels, starting much earlier in folks' careers, and they have a very important candidate development program. And much of that is driven by its size and its critical needs. We really want to use the measuring of leadership skills gaps to drive the development of new efforts around leadership programs to ensure that we're able to close these gaps.
Great. What about Treasury's Best Place to Work initiative? We will ask Rochelle Granite, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Human Resources and Chief Human Capital Officer, to share with us when we return on the Business of Government Hour.